Thank you. Okay. See, you're doing. You do not. You're not destroyed. You're separated from God because you're a sinner. You're separated from God because you refuse to walk with Him. To walk His provided way. To be the message of the provided way. Because He was life to me. He was His own life, the way, the truth. He was truth to me. I find it in the Bible. Such a contrast. body that we destroy, you got to be condemned, because he says, he did not condemn, but remember, he said that to sin, it's not belief, it's not believing, which then you're condemned for it, right? You have to believe to be able to get out of that, and you have to, it's actually a miracle to recognize that you're dead, and that you're a sinner. It's actually a miracle. I remember, and I used to witness a lot in the campuses at the University of Arizona, and it's very common that you talk to the youth and you ask them, you know, hey, are you a good person? Like, yeah. It's almost like they all write a book or something, because they'll tell you the same thing. Yeah, I don't want them stealing banks. I don't want them killing. I say to myself, I don't want them, you know, killing people and things like that. And that's it in the humanity, right? That's like, when people say they're good, they're all right. So I was like that too, I said the same things too. So for me to have lives, I had to experience the miracle of realizing that I actually needed to die. And it's very contradictory to the spirit of humanity, to the spirit of the Lord. And how can you die again? It's very opposite, right? It says, for if we have been planted together with the likeness of his death. So we have death, and we do. It's very similar. We have to die too. And look at the words crucified. And then we shall be also in the likeness of resurrection. So this alone tells you the gospel in the sense that it's a shall, one. So if you do this, you'll be resurrected in the likeness of this resurrection. Is that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, I want to focus on those words, body of sin, your old man, all the lives that you want to lose, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin or belief. You know, I heard many times say, no, once you have a revelation, that's what happens. That's why people live this message. It's because it wasn't just that they so much it was hearing. It didn't have to come to hearing before it came to hearing. We didn't need that. We didn't need the tutors, so we needed all that. But ultimately, here's the hard part. You know, try to home, you gotta die. To the old man, you gotta die. To the body of sin. And then the next verse says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. If you died to the old man, if you're crucified, if you died to the body of sin, you're free from having no belief. And that is freedom. There's a big freedom that comes with the life that God gives, that you no longer have to disbelieve. It's not a requirement to graduate or to live out this gospel. You actually don't have to be in the government, to the things of government. You know what it's like to live like that, to live free from unbelief. And there's rest. It's the Holy Spirit that make you jump, that make you in perfect peace, to make you be at perfect peace, the Prince of Peace. happened to Christ is very similar to what happened to me. That will happen to the believer because he made a way. Now, if I would have just died like a natural death and all that, that's not what I'm doing. It's dying to your desire, your affection, your patience. It's serious stuff. It's a process, number one. And let me say it. Scriptures did it to me, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more. You know, it's a paradox, right? To know that you defeat death and death. It's a different kind of paradox. And here we can circle back to that Romans 6:11. For in that he died unto sin. Did that step, but it is past. I also love the word is. important when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You know, when the rest of the tongue said this before, it was on Isaiah 25. When one of the scriptures that just encouraged me to know that when I was battling this death, was this like spiritual death. And right before the message came across my dad, I ran across this verse 8 of chapter 25 of Isaiah, where it seems like I was like fighting against death. Like I was actually battling death. And here I am, me, already in my walks as a Christian, but I was actually fighting death, the death of that I was fighting. I needed to die out. I needed to die out more. I needed to understand more. I was a deep quality. And it said, and he who destroyed this mountain, the face of the covering, cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations, he will swallow up death in victory. Victory is life, victory is itself. It is in battle won. And it says, he will swallow up death in victory. When I read the scriptures to me, it means he's going to defeat this death for me. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It shall be said of the Lord, in that day, Lord, this is a covenant. This is it. We have waited for him. And he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Amen. And I remember when the scripture gave me the encouragement that God's going to take care of this death. God's going to help me through it. And it reminds me just now of what Brother Bannon talked about. Death is the main thing you got to defeat. When you defeat death and everything else comes with it, it is. So Ephesians 2:1, it says, "And you, we being, had ye quickened, made alive, resurrected, brought to the newness of life, who were dead." It's the people that have been alive were dead. Your inheritance is salvation. Yeah, that's the hardest thing too. Shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory, glorified. That's a death word. Spanish and Alphonse seems a lot more like glorified word. Therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and favor of my Lord out of all of his spiritual fight because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. One of the gospel things I've recently been pondering on is that, you know, that injustice, right? Righteousness is injustice. And somebody comes in here and shoots a person on the line and says, hey, that's unjust. They were not doing anything. They were just out on the side of the road. Somewhere in there too, we live in this sinful world, right? But him who knew no sin, him who did not deserve death, how could it be? And I call that imperfect injustice. There could not be something that's more unjust than he, the only one that had the power to live right, died for all of my sins, and that was killed, that had to be crucified. There could not come another one that would be something that's more unjust. Can I hear something in the music and what is it? That's so unjust. You know, there's tragedies, but there's still people out there living in sin and they die. You know, it could be unjust, even speaking. But in this case, not only one of many, but the only one that could, that did not deserve death, that did not deserve dying, that Biden writes that by the fault of this man. And the only one. So there can no longer be a perfect injustice. And he was the only one. He was death. That was the gospel. He was death. Jesus Christ. Jesus in the form of a man had to die. There's no other way to live. This gospel to do. And when you go through those steps of feeling the weight of sin, feeling the weight of the world on you and all that, what happened to me is somebody read the scriptures to me and say that the wages of sin is death. And how does it hear? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of life. One you have to work for, and you work for it, you get it. And then the other one is you can't work for it. It's a gift. You have to be in a position where you got to be so humble that you actually receive it. You know, tell me, the thing about a gift is that it's like you don't deserve it. You don't have to, you don't work for it. Otherwise, it's not a gift, it's a wages. And then when he told me that, it just opened up to me. That's it. It started. The prophet said, he's like, I had to die. Some of my scripture told me I had to die. And many other scriptures that brought me to my knees. I don't remember what it felt like to go with the weight of the world. And then just ask God to please lead the kingdom to take away this life thing. In order for you to desire the life of God, you gotta actually nobody in their right mind is going to want to just truly, like, give up everything they've been. The true life, the life meaning the first life that they have, to gain this other life. It has to be that you don't want it anymore. It has to be that by God's grace, you realize you're a sinner, you cannot believe that that life is the way that you ought to be. Of course, you're going to have human faith for certain things, but what when the faith of God comes in and does the work, So John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill, so that's death again, and to destroy, and I come that they might have life, and that life, you know, they may have it more abundantly. There's always that contrast with what the devil came to do, what Jesus came to do. And in here, I don't know where I'm doing on time, but in here I just do a quick contrast between just some words. It's like this, that's alive, it's death. That we've been going over sin, we've gone over the attributes of death, we've gone over death, darkness, dishonor, affliction, anguish, bitterness, discouraged, being confused, living a life. I live a lie. There's no evidence living a lie. But it's, in terms of the things of God, it's living a life, the truth. And I will read a few there from Deuteronomy 28, I'm self mentioning. It starts off by saying, in verse 1, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, in the field, body, for the ground, the basket, the store, whether it comes in, whether it comes out. And it talks about, in verse 12, it says, thou shalt land in many nations, and thou shalt land tomorrow. And it keeps on going with showers and blessings. But mine, on verse 15, going up to 16, it says, cursed shalt thou be. So this just, you know, for you to appreciate life and some of these attributes, when you live in them, and you can recognize that you were that, and now God's given you that grace to receive this life and to die out. It says, cursed shalt thou be in the city. So if these words are too strong for you, just put my name in it. That's what happened to me. Cursed shalt thou be in the field, in thy basket, in thy store, in the fruit of the flock of thy body, fruit of thy land, increase of thy kind, flocks of thy sheep. When thou comest in, when thou comest out, and curses, right? Vexation, rebuke, set thy hand not to do, whatever you set up hand to do. And this is quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings. Skipping, just going out to some of the verbs, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Pestilence, verse 21, cleave unto thee, consume, 22, fever, inflammation, extreme burning. Sword, fasting with the mildew, and shall pursue me until thou perish. It keeps on going more and more and more. 28, and it says, madness, blindness, astonishment of the heart. I'll stop on that one. It just had your heart be in the wrong condition. And it is a big contrast. Just know that it's a witness, a testimony that we're not going to those steps, we don't have to go through it to get to it. So there's no shame on it from that aspect of it, because we inherited that. But also to inherit the other inheritance we have promised, we must just go through the scriptures. The door, right? The gate, the sheep. Straight is the door, and narrow is the way. Two different things. And the door is straight, it's tight, it's small. And then the way is also narrow. And then it's up to God. And then it says, wide or big is the door, and the way is also narrow. That leads to destruction. You know, I've already had all combinations. I've tried going in, I'm naturally already going into those gates of wide that you can do whatever you want with your life. And I was actually living in a way that was pretty wide too. I thought it was okay because it was wider than some of the other people I knew, but it was pretty wide. But you know where I was going? Destruction. And I actually was destroyed. And then I tried, when I read the scriptures, to actually go in and say, oh, straight is the gate, right? You know, when you come to Jesus, just confess him as your Savior. And then I was slowly kind of coming. I already did that already. I already crossed myself or something. And then over time, kind of walking the other way, again, it was wide. And that's when I started getting this message. Now I had that double barrel shotgun running with the Old and New Testament with God's just spirit revealing it to me that I really needed to come to Jesus Christ at the gate. Also, in the way that he walked, the sanctification started coming in. we know that the Son of God is come. Yeah. going to be just Jesus. Somebody's going to save him. It's like, oh, God's so merciful. He's going to come in, and he's just going to, like, oh, by the way, because I can have this test. You're my son. Here it is. And you pass the test. If there really was another way, would you think that this was really God, you know, Father, would have let Jesus out of the world? But the reason why he did it is because there is no other way. There's no other name under heaven. So, in other words, there's no other way to do it except the way he did it. There's no other way for us to get into his life than by the way he is. We're dying to do it anyway. Again, it would cost you everything, but we're going to gain everything. Eternal life, not to death. God bless you.
William Brown. we've seen all the way from Adam. We understand what Adam did all the way down to Jesus, and then from Jesus all the way to us. We have the whole understanding about how God moved and how he did the things he was ordained to do, and he changed his mind. So, brother, that was wonderful. You've got to look at that contrast of death and life. Yes, you have to die to live. I remember, you know, Brother Brown was, I remember he went to that convention or something, and it was a motel or something. And that would have been a good quote to read, where, you know, he was at the convention, and this woman didn't have half her clothes on, and she was drunk and crawling around out in the hallway, you know, and he said probably somebody's wife that had went to a convention or something, and said she was going, this is life. Ooh, this is life. He said,